This show is part of the Goblin Broadcast Network, mate. You probably knew that, though.
Gamers Haven Podcast, a gaming podcast for game masters of all gaming systems. So grab your dice bags and we'll get your game on.
But hello out there in internet land, welcome back to the Gamers Haven Podcast. This would be episode number 11 or so.
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, we're in just getting past double digits. We're growing up so fast.
Yep, our parents wouldn't even recognize us.
Do we even have 11 listeners?
That's an excellent question. I don't think so. I know of maybe 3 or 4 people that do listen to us regularly that aren't related to us. So, and we like them. They're great.
Yes.
They don't email us, though.
That's okay.
But, you know, they got lives.
Yeah.
Much
something
like
that we
do.
Don't.
No. I have a life.
I have school and work. That's not a life.
That's true.
I occasionally work and make money.
Wow.
Does that count?
No, not really.
Oh, I washed dishes last night. Does that count?
No, because that's work.
We don't have lives.
No.
We suck.
But they're clean dishes.
That's true.
But we have a really cool subterranean underground lair.
That's true, too.
Yes.
We also have a Batmobile.
Since when?
Since yesterday.
Sweet. Does it have atomic batteries? Turbines?
Yes, it does.
Excellent.
Can it climb? Can it drive up walls?
Is Adam West in it?
No. But if an old butler guy shows up, or a rich young individual shows up and knocks on the door, I'm not here.
Oh, okay.
Did you hear a knock?
No. Just ignore it. They'll go away.
Yeah.
Probably just a salesman.
Damn salesman. They hear we have our own minting process, and they try to sell us everything.
I know.
Then they try to screw us out of our quatloos. Oh, quatloos only... It takes 15 quatloos to equal a dollar. The hell it does!
Can you say Batman on this? Or is that copyrighted?
You can say Batman all you want.
Cool. Batman.
Batman.
Is that like the Haster thing? We say his name 3 times, he shows up?
Wait, I don't know.
Let's not do that. He might want his Batmobile back.
Yeah, we won't say Haster again.
Haster?
Oh.
Why are there clouds in the subterranean cave?
Yeah. Hey guys, I got homework I gotta go do.
Hey,
I'll
you know
you
what we could do? We could say Batman, and he could take on Haster.
Yeah, and Batman would win because he's Batman. But we're talking about superheroes today, obviously.
Batman's a superhero.
Batman is a super... Haster is not a superhero.
He's a supervillain.
He would be a supervillain, technically.
He's a super evil god.
It's more mixing genres.
If I was a supervillain, I would take that name, though.
Haster?
He who shall not be named.
Uh-oh. No. He who shall not be named. Now, I'm sure they've used that. Someone's used that before in some comic book somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
No. Probably.
I would have a Cthulhu-esque outfit and sayings and...
Tentacles?
Yeah.
But this wraps... This will be wrapping up our genres series that has now gone on forever.
At least for now.
Well, yes, until we think of more genres or think of more stuff to say.
Yeah, more stuff.
But we're talking about superheroes today.
Yes.
My personal favorite genre. Because superheroes rule.
Well, not really. They usually help, but
sometimes they're
depends on the superhero genre you're looking at. I mean, if you're looking at, like, The Authority, or maybe, you know, Kingdom Come, or Squadron Supreme, they do rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's not always
but
a good
usually
thing.
That's not a good thing.
No, then they're not superheroes.
Doom 2099, One Nation,
Under Doom.
So, just have to superhero role-playing games. I guess we should talk about some of the settings that they have available, or systems.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into that when we get into the discussion. Right now we're just, you know, bantering.
Because, you know, we have to always decide who's going to win between Batman and someone else. And
that's
somebody might be confused.
What if Batman fought a clone of himself?
Batman would win.
Batman would win.
Not the clone. Because the clone is copy, and therefore
they
would join forces to defeat something else.
Who would form the head?
That's not a good question. What I really meant. I meant working together, not morphing together.
But that still would be scary.
A giant.
It's true.
7 or 8 foot tall Batman.
But we'll be back after this.
Yeah, sometimes opposing the law is messy, but you get by one day at a time.
Follow the Path, the Bears Grove podcast, adult-level discussion of role-playing as a storytelling art at bearsgrove.com. Hello there, this is Sam Chubb, and I'm host of the Bears Grove podcast. What we offer is adult-level discussion of role-playing as a storytelling art. You may be familiar with my name through my career as a writer, having written such things as The Book of Nod for Vampire the Masquerade, and a game designer, the co-creator of Changeling the Dreaming and Wraith the Oblivion. The Bear's Grove is not for kids. We have visited with an eye to role-playing such mature and complex topics as romance, sex, religion, and gender. We've had other voices talk about what it means to be a female role player.
You know, it's all very well and good for a geek gamer to talk about the, you know, sort of starry-eyed aspects of romance and gaming, but I was hoping that I could maybe...
Well, you know, I asked you first to do some one-on-one time outside the campaign.
In addition, we get down into the nitty-gritty details with tips for game design, storytelling, and great role-playing. You have to be willing to do the prep work, to prep your soul and your imagination, so that when you're in the midst of the game, you don't forget that there is great beauty to be had in the turn of a great phrase, the setting of a wonderful scene, and you can bring that to your game. Every so often we have a theme episode, like our superhero episode.
By night, your character is part of an unstoppable force in the war against injustice. By day, not so much. Howdy, gamers.
Or our Firefly episode. You've all got on this boat for different reasons. You all come to the same place. So now I'm asking more of you than I have before. Maybe all. Plus, every so often, I will hold forth about some topic because I love to tell stories myself and tell tales of my experiences working at White Wolf Game Studio back when the World of Darkness was still new for the first time.
But the real cool part of the weekend was when they brought us all into a meeting room for a conflict resolution session, and then they swung open a set of double doors. They had backed a truck up to those doors, rolled up a back door and started tossing out these brightly colored boxes to each one of us. They were Nerf Arrow Storms. The original. 6 arrows, no waiting. And every one of the 50 or so employees at the time was given one to play with.
Listen in, we are available on iTunes and the Goblin Broadcast Network and at bearsgrove.com.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Well, we're back, and today we are going to be discussing the wonders of superhero role-playing and superheroes in general, I believe.
Batman could defeat Superman, too.
Well, of course. Batman can defeat everybody.
He did defeat Superman,
yep.
But then he died of a heart attack.
No, he didn't.
Well, it looked like he died of a heart attack.
You need to read The Dark Knight Strikes Back, because he did not die of a heart attack.
Well, that's what I was talking about. It looked like
he did make it look like that.
Yes, but Superman knew that he didn't die.
Of course he did. But Superman also knew that Batman
beat his ass
again if he came after him.
That's true.
And Superman was scared. Because Batman's like Chuck Norris in disguise.
Then Superman went and, you know...
No, Batman is not Chuck Norris.
Got it on with Wonder Woman and cracked the earth, so... But we're digressing again.
Really?
Yes.
Crack the earth?
Yeah.
That's horrifying.
They got it on and they cracked the earth. I am not
Did somebody
BSing you.
Fix the earth afterwards? Did Batman fix it?
They also found out that the government had kidnapped the Flash and hooked him up to a big hamster wheel to power the United States.
See, that's a good idea. If there's any speedsters out there, please send us your name, address, email number. Everything. Phone number, email address.
Uh-huh.
Wow account.
Wow account?
Of course, if he's a speedster, he can do like 50 things at once. He's
not going to be able to use the Wow account while he's in the giant hamster wheel powering my house.
That's not necessarily true. We can hook up a computer, and when he runs in real life, he runs in the game. Mm-hmm. If he wants to stop in the game, he has to say stop, and you know, his character will stop in the game, and he can keep running to power the house. Besides...
With superhero role-playing, I've run many and many upon many upon many upon superhero games in my tenure as a game master. I know Jeremy has run some, and I don't know if you have or not.
I've run one.
Well, tell us about that, my friend. I have not
heard of this. Terrible.
That's okay. Mine
it failed miserably.
Okay. What system was it?
Mutants and Masterminds First Edition.
Interesting.
Was Batman in it?
No.
That's why.
There you go. But I cut my teeth on the Marvel Super Heroes role-playing game, moved on from that to Champions, and from Champions to Silver Age Sentinels on to the glory that is Mutants and Masterminds. And yes, that means we'll be putting yet another obligatory plug and link to Green Ronin Publishing in this show notes. In the show notes for this show. Again!
With Champions, just curious, did they ever come out with like some sort of spinning device to dump dice into?
No.
Like a big wheel or something?
Like a bingo wheel?
The wheel of torture?
No. They did not.
But they did come up with a computer program to...
It was the first game system I know of that had a computer program to design characters with.
Because it looked like a tax sheet.
Wait a second, maybe I did play... Did Palladium also have a superhero one?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, Heroes Unlimited.
Heroes Unlimited, that's the other one I played. I was trying to remember.
Yeah, Heroes Unlimited.
It actually had some cool powers.
It did, but it was also a very broken system.
Oh, yes.
That's because it's based off of Palladium's base system, which is broken system.
It goes into, really, a superhero game is, you have to find the right system for you. With a superhero game, putting in superpowers into a setting can really wreak havoc. Honestly, it depends on what kind of superhero game you're wanting to run. There are different genres within the superhero genre, I guess, that you can run. There's Golden Age, Silver Age, Bronze Age, Iron Age, and Modern Age. And the Mutants and Masterminds Second Edition book actually outlines all the ages really well. Yes, we're going to be pimping Mutants and Masterminds a lot here.
Good system.
It's a great system. It's my personal favorite. I'm going to go ahead and just start at the beginning with I started with Marvel Superheroes role-playing game, and Marvel Superheroes worked well. It was a, it was based on percentile dice, and it was done by TSR. Hmm. And you roll dice and compared it against a basically a chart, and they call it the Face Rip system, FASERIP, and it was I think it was fighting, intelligence, I can't remember all of them, strength, endurance, I can't remember, but they all stood for the actual stats you had in the game. But they had a really cool book in there for Marvel that you can actually all get for free. All the Marvel stuff, most of the Marvel stuff is actually available as a free download now. And I'll put that link in the show notes. But you can have, there's a fun book you can mess around with called the Ultimate Powers book, which actually let you completely randomly create a superhero. It's kind of fun. But that one was more miniature based. You had big city maps and stuff you actually messed with, but Champions was another game that it dealt heavily with miniatures, and you needed a degree in physics to actually figure out how to make a character, and
you had to have an accounting degree to make the character and a degree in physics to actually figure out whether you hit or not.
Yeah, well, one round of combat could last an hour. Plus, depending.
We don't want to forget about HeroClix. I actually enjoyed HeroClix.
Marvel HeroClix was awesome.
I still have HeroClix. I like HeroClix just fine.
It's kind of an obsessive collector's game.
An expensive collector's game.
Yeah, yes. It's kind of expensive, too. But it is a lot of fun.
And there's a number of superhero games out there. I've heard Fantasy Flight's Marvel Heroes board game is actually quite good. And I intend to pick it up at some point.
Well, the one thing I liked about the HeroClix was you had the superpowers, you could do some cool stuff, but it was so simple and straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
You took damage, I clicked. Here's what my powers are.
Well, it was all based on their Mage Knight.
Yeah. You know,
they started with Mage Knight.
Which Mage Knight was a good one, too, but the superhero, I liked the HeroClix much better.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm such a sucker for superheroes that, I'll pretty much look at anything as a superhero.
You were really into comics, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Comic books. I grew up reading comic books. The first comic book I ever had was a comic book version of Superman 4, The Quest for Peace.
I was not a comic book collector, so I don't have as much about comic books as some people.
Yeah, the only type of comic books I collected were independent comics. I read a lot of Dark Horse comics because they had Aliens and Predator comics, which, I was a fan of Aliens and Predator before they brought out Aliens vs. Predator and Alien whatever the hell that was, the French movie.
No, Alien Resurrection.
Yeah, the French movie.
But Batman was still in, so it doesn't really matter.
Well, yeah, Batman did fight Predator, and he won.
He fought Predator four times, and the first time is good, the other three are bad.
Yeah.
Superman fought Aliens
after that. And he actually got impregnated by a chest burster, and because of his Man of Steelness, it tried to pop out of his chest, and it ended up killing itself.
With superhero gaming, though, predominantly you're going to be setting it in the modern day, but there's always good times for Golden Age, running around and kicking the crap out of Nazis. There's nothing ever wrong with that. You could run it in the future, a la Legion of Superheroes.
Or even in the past.
Even in the past, check out Marvel 1602, mm-hmm. which is superheroes set in the early 1600s.
That was actually a really cool series.
Written by Neil Gaiman. It's actually quite good. It's probably one of the only Neil Gaiman things I actually can stomach.
Oh, really?
Didn't he do Sandman?
Yeah, he did Sandman.
I didn't mind Sandman.
It would also be neat to do a crossover with a fantasy game. Because mm-hmm. superheroes' powers, while would be fantastic, and some people could say magical, his outlook would probably be much different.
Right. Well, there are superheroes that use magic. Doctor Strange, Doctor Fate.
But even their outlook is different.
Yeah, they always have different outlooks. And they've typically always been around, running around behind the scenes.
I just think that'd be a lot of fun in a game if somebody came up to me and said, I would like to play a superhero in your D&D game.
Their first response would be, no.
Actually, my response would be, we'll see if we can make it work. I think it'd be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, it depends.
Because there's also the setting. Superheroes have to have a particular setting.
Definitely. You have to go for a type of feel, which is why I'll go back to the whole what kind of a superhero game you're running. My personal favorite's always been Golden Age and Silver Age. I think Iron Age, Bronze Age gets a bit too heavy in the heavier stuff.
My life is a dark pit of festering darkness.
Yeah, pretty much. Where you have, you know, heroes that are, you know, addicted to drugs, alcoholics, angsty. And in the Iron Age, you have the heroes that are, you know, vigilantes and shooting and killing people.
The anti-heroes.
That's not the type of superhero game I like.
Where you question the
whether or not you're a hero.
Or you question when the character has earth powers and somebody's encased in the earth, and in a Silver Age, they're just encased in the earth for a while.
Right.
But in the other ones, this little spray of blood comes up when the earth closes in around them.
Yeah. I remember that.
And a normal person, even with superpowers, would go home and maybe pray and or cleanse their soul for the murder they have caused.
Whereas in Iron Age, that person wouldn't even blink twice about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I've run a number of superhero games with my current group, from Champions all the way up through Mutants and Masterminds through Silver Age Sentinels.
I was blessedly not there for the Champions game.
I had a lot of fun in your superhero.
You need a... It's definitely... You have to communicate with your players to make sure they know what kind of a game you're playing. If you're wanting to run a Silver Age game and they come with a Punisher-style character, that's not going to work. And you need to make it clear, you know, in a Silver Age game and a superhero game, a lot of times you're going to have, you know, that line between life and death is going to be, you know, grayed out because, you know, you bench press buses, you know, as a daily workout, and you go up, you punch some, purse snatcher. Okay, well, realistically, he's a smear on the sidewalk as opposed to you punch him. Okay, he's knocked out.
Yeah. He's running down the street.
That wasn't explained to me when I first played Mutants and Masterminds with you guys, playing my little...
Well, that campaign, that was the Midland City campaign, and that campaign that wasn't a Silver Age campaign.
That was a different...
That was supposed to be an Iron Age, Modern Age campaign. That's what it was.
I killed a bunch of people.
It was supposed to... I designed that whole campaign as a big satire, a big parody, so...
Because in Silver Age... In Silver Age, you...
But then you weren't there for the first... Silver Age Sentinels with the first part of that game.
I was not.
Totally Silver Age.
It was.
Style.
I wish I would have played a different character in that, though.
I was not there for that campaign until the last two games. I sat on the last two games. I didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went into, I think it was Deadlands after that.
Yeah, probably.
Because
my
character wasn't Silver Age enough for that.
For?
Silver Age Sentinels.
Chronomancer?
Yeah, he really wasn't. He was a lot darker and brooded. He brooded more.
That's fine. You know, you love to learn.
The Digger would have, or the Rock would have been better.
But I'm the big fan of the Silver Age stuff. You have, you know, the four color comic book. You know, red, white, blue, and apple pie. You know, Superman is the essential four color comic.
Apple pie is not a color.
Yeah, but that's the way I best describe a four-color comic book.
You don't have to worry about collateral damage.
Collateral damage happens, but there's no consequences behind
exactly.
it. You know, it's like, you knock down a building, you're not going to get a bill the next day.
And also, the people in the building aren't going to die because they've already left or they're
they've been evacuated.
You're knocking over the building to save the orphans.
And if a death happens, two things are going to happen. It's either going to be, well, that person will come back to life later, probably as a supervillain or whatever, or it's a major thing that it's a big point in the campaign where you have to draw a lot of attention to this death, because the death did happen, but you know, it was few and far between. Now, if you move on to, you know, I sort of touched on Bronze Age and Modern Age, or Bronze Age and Iron Age comics, where you have the more heavy political issues going on and. There's a lot more death going on and a lot more violence.
Superheroes actually have to be careful with their use of powers.
Yes.
The
government isn't necessarily on your side. The people aren't necessarily on your side.
There isn't necessarily good and evil as much, because sometimes that villain you're fighting isn't really a villain.
Right.
The black and white is no longer there.
It's all shades of gray.
You could be fighting other heroes.
We've had happen on a couple of occasions.
But that's why I like Silver Age a bit better, because it's distinct. You know, it's like you've got the mustache-twirling, fist-shaking bad guy, and then you've got the paragons of good against him, you know. It's the Avengers, it's the Fantastic Four, it's the Justice League,
it's Superman, it's Spider-Man.
Exactly. It's you don't think about it. And I've always liked those style of campaigns and those style of games. But if you're running a superhero game, the first thing you want to think of is where you're going to set the thing. I have my own setting for it, but I mean, you could set it in the real world. It's in New York City is a big place for the superhero genre. But you can set it anywhere, ultimately. And how are the superheroes going to be treated? How are people going to accept them is a big factor. If you
it's
want
going to be a lot of fear.
Are they outlawed? Are they revered?
Are they, are they mass marketed?
Are they even known about?
Right, right. Do they have action figures? You know,
yeah,
do little
t-shirts.
Kids? Do they have comic book versions of their exploits? Or yeah, does the government toss them out? You know.
Yeah. So where does Batman fall in?
Batman started off in the late 1930s in Detective Comics, and he actually was more of a detective story, sort of a noir. People might think that Batman fits more into the people's concept of what Batman is fits more now into an Iron Age, but that's not how Batman has always been.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and read Batman in the 1950s. You know that 1960s TV series?
Mm-hmm. That was Batman?
That was Batman.
I loved that TV show, actually.
Well, Adam West is awesome.
That's true. Adam West, if you hear this, we love you. You are awesome. Really.
Oh, no, he is. He rules, yes.
He needs to, like, you should send us email and stuff.
Because Adam West is the man. But, yeah, no, there's Batman was, you know...
Who played... There were so many villains on that TV show. I know it's kind of a side thing, but I loved the super villains in that TV show.
Yeah, the villains in that show were great.
There was villains that probably had nothing to do with the comics at all, but they were so fun.
Well, there was Vincent Price, who was Egghead.
Uh-huh. There was the Egyptian guy. Was he King Tut?
King Tut.
There was also the Penguin. There
Penguin,
was Catwoman
Joker,
with all of her... Catwoman,
Cesar Romero as the Joker is fantastic.
The Joker. What was Cat... There was Catwoman and her little... like Minx, or she had a pet.
Minx, yes.
Yeah.
I think it was Minx.
And
there are three different Catwomans on the show.
True. But I can never remember.
Julie Newmar, Eartha Kitt, and I can't remember the last one. Eartha Kitt was one.
The Riddler was a lot of fun on that show.
Frank
there
Russian.
Wasn't a Two-Face.
No.
He
no
was
Two-Face.
Too dark for that
Two-Face
show.
Was a dark character. Two-Face is a dark character.
But I know there was a lot of villains that... I'd never seen before. Remember, I've never read a lot of comics, so maybe they were there somewhere. Like, I loved all that. I mean, yeah, it's kind of cheesy and stuff, but that was a great superhero.
Yeah,
show.
And you could run a game like that easy.
The old Batman,
Adam West Batman.
Oh,
because the villains in that they're just awful.
Oh yeah,
and he had repellent for everything, shark repellent.
The shark repellent bat spray. Yeah. Well, Batman, like I was saying, though, people's concept of what Batman is now isn't what Batman's always been like. I mean, the 60s TV series Batman was around because that's pretty much how Batman was like then. You know, he was campy. You know, he would run around. He'd run around just openly with the police officers and have little quips and stuff. But it wasn't until really the 1980s, Dark Knight Returns and things, where Batman started to go sort of this dark turn, and they got more into his psychosis, you know.
Which is cool.
Which is cool, yeah.
And that was when they killed off, you know, Robin.
Yeah, they killed off a Robin, they killed off Jason Todd, which they have subsequently brought him back to life.
Have they really?
Yes, it was a dumb thing. I don't like it when they do that. That's the thing about a superhero game, is death isn't always the end. Case in point, if you remember... Captain America had a sidekick, Bucky. And the first thing Stan Lee did when he got control of that book was he killed Bucky. And Bucky's been dead for,
Bucky.
You know, 40 years.
And that's a good thing.
And they just brought Bucky back.
Oh, he needs to get hit by a bus.
Yes. I'm not too happy about
I'm not
bringing
even,
Bucky back.
Again, I've never... But I even know about Bucky.
Yeah.
And I just want him to walk out in the street and get hit by a bus.
But the whole sidekick thing came about really because, like, Batman got a sidekick because they were trying to appeal more to the younger readers. And that's one thing, comic books have always been had that stigma.
Stigmatized for is
that they're for kids. Mm-hmm. But I challenge you, it's like, no, read Dark Knight Returns, read V for Vendetta, read The Watchmen. Those aren't books for kids.
No.
Those are like books for adults. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think Watchmen won a Hugo Award, for crying out loud.
Most of the comic books that are out right now, I wouldn't recommend for most kids. I mean, like, you're talking about the Marvel 1602?
Yeah.
That's definitely not for kids.
No, I mean, it's a bit more
so right
story.
There on the
well,
front.
And that's why they need to make sure you have the kids ones and the adult ones. I mean, comic books... You know, and then I'll get into later about City of Heroes. I mean, that's very... It appeals to some adults, but I think it appeals to the kids a lot because it's such a...
Oh, yeah. When you have a superhero story, you have to think more in grandiose strokes. I mean, if you're going with the Silver Age style, your villains are going to be wanting to take over the world.
Or they want $1 million.
$1 million, blow up the moon, et cetera, et cetera. And you need to have those megalomaniacal, you know... shaking your fist bad guys. Because they're fun to play, too, as NPCs. You know, my personal favorite has always been out of Meets and Masterminds, Atomic Brain. He's just a great example of a Silver Age villain.
But you could turn him very dark if you wanted to.
Oh, easily, yes. Easily. But that, again, goes into how you're wanting to play the game, how you're wanting to run it. We're all together.
A family brought together by fate and given superpowers through the miracle of modern science.
www.dwarventavern.net/dtr.htm, where to go for RPG and fantasy news, reviews, interviews, anecdotes, and stories. That's www.dwarventavern.net/dtr.htm, Dwarven Tavern Radio.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
We're back with the wonderful three-parter, nice three-parter section. Today, Nathan's going to be giving us a nice review of City of Heroes. I'm going to give you guys an NPC, and Jeremy's got a quaint little rant to give us. Why don't we go ahead and start with the review?
Ah, yes.
The review.
Well, back in, I believe it was 2002? 2003, City of Heroes debuted.
Sounds about right.
It was the first superhero massively multiplayer online game, and as far as I know, it's still the only one aside from City of Villains.
The only other superhero game I really know of anyway is Freedom Force.
There's actually the Marvel Alliance. There's also the Justice League. Those are both PC games as well.
Yeah.
Marvel Alliance.
Those are licensed though, so.
Marvel Alliance though.
I heard.
Two thumbs up.
But anyway,
back in 2003 or somewhere around that time, because I had just started dating Becca when it came out actually, and I've been dating Becca since March 21st, 2003. So somewhere around 2003, if I remember correctly. City of Heroes debuted. We'd seen several instances and references to it for the past two or three Gen Cons. Because remember, they've been talking about it for a while, been pimping it out. And I managed to get in on the beta test, and I very much enjoyed it. And I bought the game when it came out. And I know this game's been out for forever, but we're going to talk about it anyways. The game's engine, graphics engine, is still incredibly well done. I mean, it's not anything cutting edge or, you know, top notch. You can pretty much run it on a
fair multitude range of video cards, which is a good thing, because the one thing you don't want to do with a massively multiplayer online game is alienate your crowd by making the requirements too high. Are you listening to me, Sony? Good.
Probably not.
Yeah. But
they could still send us free stuff, though.
Yeah.
I don't want any of their
free stuff. We could send them emails from Gamers Haven, and they'd probably go, who?
Nathan doesn't want free stuff, but I'll take
no,
free stuff.
No, because I don't know about you, but as much as I'd like a little hibachi grill in my living room, I don't really care for Blu-ray movies. So I have no reason to have a PS3.
Grill.
Mm-hmm. Hibachi grill. But anyways, back to City of Heroes. City of Heroes was created by a company called NCSoft.
Is this going to turn into
actually, it was distributed by NCSoft. The game was actually created by Cryptic Studios, out of California. I can't remember. I'd have to ask.
Sounds about right.
I'd have to ask my friend who actually works for them, NCSoft. But the game, when it came out, was heralded as a new step forward because it was one of the first modern style, non fantasy or sci-fi MMOs. Period. The game, in my opinion, is very fun. I do have some problems with it. It's easy. The character creation is incredibly large. You have I think it's six subtypes, or six archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
There's Bruiser, Scraper.
Well, there's Tanker, Scrapper, Controller, Blaster.
Blaster. And then the last one is
Defender.
Defender.
Yeah. And then there's two additional ones that you can only play if you actually have a level 60 character.
Yeah.
And I can't remember what they're called.
Never got that high.
Neither did I.
I couldn't afford to spend that much time.
The character generated by itself is
great. Yeah, the character generation by itself is incredible, leading to a lot of times when we were doing superhero games, we generate a character in the City of Heroes engine and then take screenshots of it to put on our character sheets.
Yeah,
very well, very, very well done. Thousands upon thousands of choices. Of course, that being said, they did have to make a bunch of modifications to it because originally you could do flesh-colored outfits, and so they had people running around that were naked.
Cool.
Yeah.
Which, for more of a kid's game,
plus they also got
kinda
sued by Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. We have to remember that. They got sued by Marvel because they weren't keeping people with names like Wolverine and stuff out of the game.
Not even that. Marvel sued them because you could make characters that looked like their Marvel characters.
Yeah. Which is funny because it was a completely generic engine, which meant that you could pretty much make whatever you wanted.
Right.
And then they changed it.
They had to.
Yeah. They had to. Which I think is just retarded. It just shows you how territorial and capitalistic American companies are, that they feel they have to protect even the rights of the looks of their characters. It's just silly. But anyways, going back to the game. The game is fun. You can solo for a long period of time up until about level 18, 19?
Depends on the class, though.
Depends on the class. If you play like a scrapper or a tanker, you can solo pretty much up to 18 or 20.
Not a controller.
Not a controller. Controllers need help starting off about rank 5.
Or a defender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, defenders are all...
Even blasters have some
problems. Soloing!
And tankers are just not one.
Yeah.
Everybody is a tanker. Or was. Let me put it that way.
Yeah. But anyways, here's where we get into the gist of the problems. Level 20 out of 50 levels is not very high before you have to be required to be grouping with people to finish anything. That makes it very difficult because by the point you get to where you have to have groups to start doing things, missions start to take a lot of time. You're talking a place, you just go into a place, oh, you have to clean out this place. There's 3 levels to it. Oh, big deal. When you get to level 20, you go to one of those places, there's like 40 people per level, and it takes like 5 of you to beat one guy, and then there's 9 levels to the building. 4 hours to finish a mission. And the thing is this mission is exactly the same mission as the previous one you did, where you could do it by yourself,
only it's
just more people and a larger level. The building looks the same. So
the biggest problem with that game was the repetitiveness,
yes.
And also the... I mean, they could really help the game out if they just would drop the amount of groups down. You know, it's like, when you walk into it, there's like 12 guys sitting around. If it was only 4 guys, then it would be possible to do it.
And modify or get rid of the debt.
Yeah.
That's the other major thing, the major complaint we had. You die. Well, suddenly you have 1,200 points in debt.
Right.
And, well, you still gain experience.
Slowly.
It's you're cut in half. Half of your experience goes to debt, and half your experience goes to your actual experience point bar. Well, that doesn't seem that bad, but when you consider that to get out of debt, you have to earn 2,400 experience. The average bad guy in the game gives you 10.
Also depends on what level they are.
And so,
even at your level, the average guy gives you 24 experience.
Graphically, and the freedom of how you look and everything, the game's fun. It's just...
I recommend the game if you're curious.
It is a fun game. I still enjoyed it. It's the best way to play it is to buy it, and I think you could buy it for $20 now.
Buy it for $20 with both City of Heroes and the City of Villains game.
Right.
They're both
buy it for $20 and play it for a month, you know?
Play it for 3 months and see what you think.
And it is a fun game for that. I wouldn't suggest going into it for long subscriptions, you know, maybe buy one more month or two more months and play it. But if you really like it, go for it. But it's both times I played it really hardcore, I only made it up to level 20 and stopped.
And, yeah, we stopped because we couldn't get anywhere.
We got tired of the repetitiveness, and also people just kept falling out of it. And when they got to that level, they'd stop playing. And so by the time some of us got up there, none of our friends were on it
because of their debt.
It's different from, like...
Sure, I know it's a massive multiplayer online game, and you're supposed to build social relationships and get groups, but that's not going to happen with most gamers out there, because we want to play with our friends. And two, you know, I'm a level 20 tanker running around, and I need a group, and nobody wants to group with you. That sucks.
Tankers are cheap.
They're ostracized,
because there's so many of them, it's cheap to get them. I mean, that was the problem with...
This is one of the other problems I have with the game. You go out, you get your missions, you go kill things, you go back and get more missions. There's nothing
but the missions are never different.
Else to do in the game, period. You level up, you increase your skills, you go on missions that are all exactly the same. There's nothing else. They are, to their defense, getting ready to implement a sort of a crafting system. The thing is the game is now 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's getting old.
There's a lot that they could learn from a game like World of Warcraft or something. Where if they had, like, an actual, you know, the police in it in the game could actually do stuff and help you, you know, instead of running
away. That wouldn't take
away
from the heroes at all.
Not at all.
Something I loved about it, which I wish World of Warcraft would have done, but was great for the hero game, flight. A lot of people thought flight was useless, but flight was so beautiful. You could fly up and you look over all the terrain.
Oh yeah, it's
I had more
game.
Fun doing that than
the
quest.
I love super jumping and the teleportation.
They were trying to add with the expansion pack. They were trying to add flight to the standard zones. The problem is that the standard zones, they have the flight pass for the Griffins.
Yeah, I know.
What they were having was due to the way the code was written. When your flying mount flew through the area where a Griffin was going through, and a Griffin ran into you, it dropped that person. That person fell to their death. They're fixing that.
But I'm just saying that I had a lot more fun with the movement powers in City of Heroes.
So City of Heroes, it's fun, and when you start to get sort of lackluster up until you get to hit 15th level when you get the movement powers.
So
the movement power
is
always the fun stuff.
You can
teleport,
speed,
you can fly,
you
can you
super
can speed.
And
that was always just fun to run around with super speed.
I wanted to spend more power.
Super jump.
Yeah,
super
I wanted
jump.
To spend all my power jumping points on just movement.
Yeah.
At that point, I didn't care about anything else.
And that made me go on for another five levels because I was having fun with that. But then it grows. Then
it stales.
They need it stales. They need to keep giving you something. You know,
make the quest different.
Right.
Give
it a more in-depth story that goes throughout that feels like
my
you're doing
brother
something.
Actually he was flying around and found a giant, I think it was an octopus.
Yeah.
You might have seen it too.
Yeah, I've seen it. I never thought it.
Throw in those type of monsters and aliens and things for the lower level people.
I mean, have like invasions and weird stuff happen, you know.
Have instances you can actually go through that.
Were you there when the Reet Team invaded? That was a cluster
Smurf
of epic proportions. The Reet Team invaded. It's like, this is the newbie area. We'll throw level 35 Reek Tees at them.
Well, you can't do that.
We can't do anything against those. You can't even hit them. And they're just going through and they slaughtered everybody.
It has a lot of potential. I enjoyed it, except for the repetitiveness and the... I love the character creation. The character creation and the movement powers are the best thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I would not spend vast amounts of money on it.
Would you say it's a good massive multiplayer game to cut your teeth on?
It is.
No.
Okay. No, I would not.
No?
No.
Really? I think it's a great game... Along with that, I think it's a great game for kids.
Yes.
Actually.
Yes, I do
agree
with that.
For kids, I think it's much better for kids.
But if you're going to cut your teeth on a game and you're a kid, actually there's one that Disney is doing.
Oh, really?
Yes, and I can't remember the name of it.
Is it like The Incredibles, kind of? No, that was Pixar.
Pixar, it's Disney now.
Is it? Okay.
It's a Disney, it's like Toon, it's called Toontown.
Huh.
And it is incredibly well done. Incredibly well done. There's no real violence in the game. When you fight monsters, you throw things like pies at them or squirt them with a seltzer bottle. It's perfectly designed for kids. That is a good one for kids to cut their teeth on. For adults, a game that I would recommend cutting your teeth on is one of the oldest ones that's still in play, and that's EverQuest. EverQuest is the best way to cut your teeth. It gives you a rough idea of what to expect in any other massively multiplayer online game. The only thing that's going to be different is the graphics. Every game out there that's a fantasy role-playing game right now still has a major amount of references back towards EverQuest. EverQuest was the first one that did everything when it came to graphics. I mean, it was the first 3D.
City of Heroes is the first superhero one that's come out that, you know, presumably will come out. I don't know of any others that are
running. That's why I think kids should start on it, because most kids like superheroes. But I didn't know about the Disney one.
Disney's Toontown is the best one for kids.
I think overall we like City of Heroes, or at least I like City of Heroes.
I like City of Heroes.
It has its issues that should be addressed. NCSoft needs to look at it and get some stuff done on it.
Or drop their price to like $5
or anything like that. Because if it wasn't $15 a month,
it wouldn't be so bad.
Even if it was $10 a month, I would consider getting back onto it.
But if they would just look into other adventures.
Yeah.
Low-level villain. I got tired of fighting. Every thug looked the same, except they were wearing different colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And have supervillains, run in and rob banks and stuff
like
that.
Have a bank robbery.
That would be so nice.
Random instanced quests. It's like you're by a building and someone says, help, help, we're being robbed. And you run in the business and there's, a villain going, ha, 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 I will take all your money. And you have to beat the villain and his little thugs.
It's a good game as it is, but I mean, there's so much more that they could do to it that would just make it much more.
There's not enough content to keep people playing.
Yeah, exactly. There's just somebody just kind of they sputtered and stopped.
World of Warcraft, where it's like, it takes you. You're like, I'm going to complete every quest in this zone. 3 weeks later, you come out going, I am like 15 levels higher, and I still have two quests I haven't finished.
If you could do the instances and the questing like in World of Warcraft with the superhero cities and the superhero, I love the computer generator on City of Heroes blows World of Warcraft generator out of
eight
the water.
Eight faces, six hairstyles,
the movement. Powers.
It's
neat that high level mages can teleport, and it's neat that you can have the griffin thing. I understand the problem with the coding, but flying is so awesome.
Cool.
The teleportation on there.
With Massive, when I got Super Leap, I was just like, this is just the coolest ever. And then I got super speed as certain threats. I was like, "Well, this is
super speed
awful.
Teleportation."
Yeah,
you could just
ability for people to get a flight skill so they could fly. And you can get a flying carpet. But they're working on it with World of Warcraft. The problem is it looks like they're going to have to rewrite the code for all the main areas, which is going to take a long time.
But City of Heroes, it has its.
I give it 1 out of 2 thumbs up. It's definitely worth checking out. It is definitely not when you get up there, it is definitely not a game to play by yourself. You have to have friends. And you won't make a lot in the game.
Or try to make friends.
No. And
good luck making friends.
My other big issue with City of Heroes was the lack of role-playing.
There was no role-playing.
There's not a whole lot of role-playing.
There were like 1 out of 1,000 people would actually stay in character on the game.
Well, but a lot of the massive...
There's no role-playing servers on
the
game.
Yeah, that is the problem.
I mean, you're a superhero. You shouldn't be running around going, WTF! That looks stupid. I pose you. Okay, come on. People, we're typing. I know we need to type fast, but if you could please use proper grammatical English,
at least
it would
try.
Be very much appreciated.
But it is a massive multiplayer game, and most of them are like that. You're always going to have the person who does not have a superhero name.
I wish they would gear it more towards, rather than getting in groups, they would give you the option of doing a...
They need to create more solo content, is what they need to do.
More solo stuff.
There needs to be more solo content.
But that's our review of City of Heroes, I would say. I think we hit every major point for that.
Every point of contention.
Mm-hmm.
Every point that we like.
But we'll be back now.
We've got character.
Let me introduce you to a gentleman named Clark Whippleman. Clark Whippleman is a small boy, maybe about 100 pounds soaking wet, maybe about 5.5 feet tall, you know, a thin kid. Worked in a comic book store in Toronto, Canada. And, you know, worked there for the longest time, loved it, you know, had a good boss. And one day, you know, I mean, he's enjoyed comic books all his life. And one day, he's riding his bicycle home to his apartment, where he has his little dog named Stanley. And he sees this old man lying in the middle of the sidewalk. And so, being the Good Samaritan, Clark stops his bike and hops off and runs over to this gentleman and asking, "Are you all right? Are you all right?" And the old man looks at Clark with just wide eyes and just goes, "You can see me? This is amazing." He then reaches out and touches Clark on the chest and then the old man vanishes. And Clark's heart starts pounding and his blood starts flowing. He starts hearing this rush of blood and this roar in his ears. And he blacks out. When he comes to, he's back at home. His bike is nowhere to be found. And he looks at himself and he's now about 8.5 feet tall, maybe about 8.5 feet wide at the shoulders. He has become the Massive Defender. That's correct. Massive Defender, defender of truth, justice, and the Canadian way. Clark quickly drops into a bit of a psychosis and decides he's living in a comic book. Puts together a costume, brightly emblazoned in red and white with the maple leaf on the front. Because, of course, he defends truth, justice, and the Canadian way. And Clark goes out on nightly patrols as Massive Defender to fight evil. He still goes to work, he puts glasses on, and people don't seem to notice that he's, you know, tripled in size, or quadrupled in size, really. Boss looks at him one day and just goes, "Oh, you got a haircut." So it all seems to be working just fine. Clark teams up with other heroes, of course, and eventually goes on to create the Canadian Crusaders, Canada's preeminent superhero team, which is now opening up a Western chapter in Vancouver. But Massive Defender, one of the greatest heroes of our day, stands about 8.5 feet tall. He's got blonde hair. You can see pictures of him all over our website. But Massive Defender will be recruiting for Canadian Crusaders at some point. He's a good character. Use him at will.
The Rant.
Here's my rant. It's just an annoyance that both myself and my fiance. I understand that in a multi, game such as World of Warcraft, most creatures should have a percentage to drop things, and the whole point when you go on certain quests is to slay so many monsters to pick certain things up. But when the quest is something simple like gnoll paws or heads, or even large eyeballs, it doesn't make any sense to me that there's only a 4% chance or a 2% chance or even less that a particular monster that obviously has a head or paws is not going to drop that. Now, I understand also in a game like that, it'd be very hard to have it drop it all the time. I understand that. But it is irritating. It doesn't make any sense. If I'm going out hunting gnolls and I need their hands, guess what? After I kill them, I'm going to hack off all their hands. I'm not going to spend 2 hours looking for a stinking gnoll hand that doesn't pop up. Or in the case of earth elementals, not even going to go there. Hate them. 2 hours. But if a creature has a particular body part and you need it, and it's like a head or a hand or a leg, and you're on that quest, it needs to drop it. Please. There are much more important quests to go on.
Like Alderman.
I understand if you're looking for eyeballs of some creature, you're going to destroy a few. Popping those eyeballs out with a spoon or a finger, That's messy. But after a while...
Spork works.
After a while, you're going to figure out that if I, after killing this thing, if I only stab it in the body, and if I use that spoon in a particular way, I can pop it out. Perfect. Not that hard.
Pop the head off and let whoever needs the eyes to pop them out.
That's true. But that takes up bag space.
That's true.
And really, the guy only wants eyeballs. So, either way, if you have a head, if you have hands, and somebody wants your head and or hands or eyeballs, and you die, you're going to drop it.
Adventure? Excitement? Jedi craves not these things.
Podcasting from their secret satellite headquarters.
Dude, it's your kitchen.
Three friends gather around the dais of discourse,
like at your mom's kitchen table.
Do battle boredom and bash finality.
Armed with only a fistful of comics and games.
Okay, Night Ranger, it looks like you've angered the Kobold Shaman, and he's about to cast a spell at you. What do you do?
Is he wearing boots?
What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it might cause arcane spell failure.
Okay, yes, he's wearing high hard leather boots.
Well, in that case, I'll attack with my longsword.
Okay, roll to hit.
13.
That's a miss.
Rookie man?
What is it, Tangent? Can't you see that we're playing Keep on the Borderlands?
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, but we just got an urgent email from the Inker from Mutant Warrior Base on the planet Zargon, and he wants to know what our podcast is all about. What do you want me to tell him?
Well, tell him that we're a roundtable discussion with a revolving cast.
Okay, I've got that. Now what?
Well, tell him that we have topics about comics, games, and other related media, like TV, movies, and novels.
Okay, I've got that.
Well, don't forget to tell him about our comics, gaming, and sci-fi convention coverage.
Well, yeah, and our interviews with game and comic creators.
Yeah, sounds like everything he needs to get his geek on.
Well, I'll just finish up by saying that you can reach us at www.fistfulofcomics.com.
That's great. Now can we get back to our game?
Well, I want to keep you.
Okay, great. All right, so he finishes casting his spell, and he fires a magic missile at you. Take 3 points of damage.
But I have boots on.
To survive, Galactus must feed now.
Well, the next section that we should be talking about is the random encounters. However, you, as our audience, have not supported us by giving us any information to put in our random encounters. Please send us emails, post on our new, brand spanking new, shiny web post forum, or you can send us an audio. Also, you can also send us voicemails. Please, we need your feedback. Without you, we're just a bunch of geeks talking about random
Smurf.
Which is a good thing, but we also like to know that we're reaching people out there, man.
I don't. I just talk to hear my voice.
Yeah.
I mostly do that, too.
Okay.
That and I like the underground.
We just need reassuring that we don't suck. Anybody?
I think... Obviously, the silence means we don't.
Excellent!
Yay.
They have nothing to add because we're perfect.
Excellent.
I like that train of thought.
I'm not going to start with that.
We have reached nirvana.
Exactly. We are.
Good. Does that mean that when we die, we'll actually come back as like a higher transcendental being?
No.
No. Once you reach nirvana, you're not reincarnated.
Yeah.
But I don't want to die forever.
Sorry. You're nirvana.
Oh, wait. I just stepped on a beetle. I'm no longer in nirvana.
We're not in nirvana!
That's just the name I sprayed on the wall.
Oh, okay.
Was that because you liked the band?
No, not really.
This is Ethan from the future. Now, we do actually have some feedback, like I said last time, but we're actually going to be recording today. It's the day it's coming out, February, well, what is it, the 11th. And we're going to address those feedbacks that we have in our next episode, I do believe. I'll be able to cut them in there. But since we haven't recorded a response yet, we don't have anything to put in here, so we're just going to do the usual stuff.
Yeah.
You can visit us on the web at CanadianCrusaders.FistfulOfComics.com. You can visit our website there, leave us an audio. You can call our voicemail line at 206-984-4122. Leave a message on the Frapper map. You can drop us an email at ThousandMonkeysProductions@gmail.com. And you could also just visit the forums on Fistful of Comics. We have our own little section there.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
Expect no mercy if you head out west.
Gamers Haven is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 2.5 license, and is hosted by the fine folks at www.fistfulofcomics.com and is a Thousand Monkeys production.
Now there's just one rule, and it's go eye for an eye. And if you slow on the door, you'll be fast to die.
That's why we are CanadianCrusaders.com or FistfulOfComics.com/ CanadianCrusaders.FistfulOfComics.com. There we go. That's why we're Canadian Crusaders.
With as much energy as he generates, we'd have enough batteries that we could power your house for a couple of weeks, swap of, you know, 20 minutes.
Yeah, sure.
We are.
Does Chuck Norris count as a superhero, though?
Well, yes, he's Chuck Norris.
I believe he should.
Who would win, Chuck Norris or Batman?
Batman. But Chuck Norris would win every other fight.
That Batman was not involved.
The only reason Chuck Norris would not win the fight with Batman is because Chuck Norris would feel he's too above Batman to fight him, and he'd rather fight with him.
And then Batman would kick his ass.
Yeah. you're going to have to change your name from Bat Person, because that's too close to Batman.
But I'm not Batman. It's not Bat Person. I'm the Amazing Electric. God.
Wrong person. Dang it.
And
also,
and all those pictures you see on the website, the Gamers Haven pictures that rotate, those are all from the Canadian Crusaders archives. Some of them are villains. Some of them are good guys. Who knows?
Also, I just sold the Batmobile.
For a Canadian mobile?
No. For money, obviously.
Okay.
I sold it to some guy with a white face and a hat. Gave me a card with a Joker on it. I don't know.
Oh, cool.
How much you pay for it?
That's $5. Yeah, that's all that's left.
Sweet, $5. Awesome.
This has been a message provided to you by the Jeremy Broadcast System. Remember, if you're a monster, drop your
Smurf.
Thank you.
Because if not, I'm going to kill you all.
I would have had him, you know, go attack and, you know, take over other planets.
Yeah, yeah.
Got one planet under your belt, go for the next one, Doom.
Mm-hmm. Doom, Mars, man.
There's no aliens on Mars.
There's Transformers, dude. Haven't you seen that?
Don't remind me.
He's smurfing, smurfing the smurfing smurf! Oh, my smurf!
That's where the Transformers sometimes live. I think it's a vacation spot.
Yeah, yeah, you know.
They live in the canals where we can't penetrate to the bottom because the canals are hundreds of miles deep. That was the statement.
That the Transformers live in canals? Is that from NASA?